what you thought, stay positive.
So we're going to jump back into the Stay Positive series. Just think that with so much that we've pushed through the last couple weeks have been so heavy. And I don't know about you, but I'm just really just tired. And I need to be reminded what gives us life, right? What things we can be passionate about. In fact, I just want to ask you right now, what's something you're really passionate about? Maybe you could share it in the chat here. What's something that really gets you going? For me, it's just being with people. So I really can't wait till we get a chance to come back and join together in worship and in full worship here in our building. But today I want to just talk a little bit about how do we get our mojo back? How do we get our enthusiasm and our passion back? Because I know just in the conversations I've had over the last week, again, just talking with people, even as our session met, it just seems like these things are so hard. And I think even in this season when we've been locked down and away from each other, we've lost some of our spiritual passion. And I think for each of us, we can think about times when we were close to God, and maybe even now you're struggling with just your intimacy and just how close God may feel to you. That there maybe you had a journey of just deep growing time with God where you knew God was working, you could sense his presence, and yet given just maybe life circumstances that you've lost that passion and you've lost that intimacy and maybe even lost your faith. And I totally understand that. And as a pastor, I'm here just to help walk in those moments. I know sometimes we think we just have to hold it to ourselves. I mean, even this week, it's been interesting. I've been watching a conversation, a young person I know on Facebook, and haven't been with that person to be physically with them in the same presence in probably 6 or 7 years. And since then, things have happened, and they've begun a family, and things were looking fairly well, and yet it's clear that in the last week or so, there's been some difficulties. And then even as I reached out to him last night just to say, hey, what's going on? Is there something I can do? I know I've been sort of a friend afar, but is there something I can offer? And then they just began to sort of share just about the difficulties that they're facing. And I think all of us need to just have those moments of encouragement. And so today I want to talk about how we can get our passion back. So let me pray. Father, we're grateful for the life you've given us, and we just pray that in the time we have today that we would be encouraged to look to your word and to look at the model that you've given us on how we can be enthusiastic about the life that we're living, a life right now that seems to be so much a trial in so many different ways, economically and with the virus and even politically and in our nation. So we just pray that in the midst of all that, your Holy Spirit would guide us. Thank you for loving us, and we just pray that you'd guide us in this conversation now in your name. Amen. So we're talking about staying positive, right? And really, when we talk about this idea of enthusiasm, it really comes down to there's two types of people. There are those people who let circumstances influence their enthusiasm, and then there are those who use their enthusiasm to influence their circumstances. And it's interesting that this word enthusiasm, that actually the root of that, in theos, you hear that? Theos is actually, it's a theological perspective. It's in God. It's that we're filled with God, and that in God we can do all sorts of amazing things. And so our enthusiasm actually is born out of our intimacy with God. The writer of 1 Corinthians, Paul, says this, chapter 15, "But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord." Notice that always. Not sometimes or maybe, but always work enthusiastically for the Lord. "For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Well, that's important for us to sort of hang on to, right? But I know there's got to be moments, even as we've been thinking about all sorts of things about being the church together, how it's like, really, God? But yet, at the same time, we've done some pretty enthusiastic things in the kingdom, and so we want to just hang on to that. But one of the first points I want to sort of lay out here is that it's not what you do that makes it meaningful, it's who you do it for. And I think when you put those kinds of things in context, and so when I think about the things that we've been able to do over the many years together, right? When we work for the Lord, it actually takes the mundane and turns it into something amazingly beautiful, right? I mean, when I think about pots and pans and the wash and wrap. And so check out this video from the archives. Or Christmas caroling. I mean, what a joy that is, and how much fun that is. And yeah, it's a lot of energy. Load up, run to a house, hop out, assemble, sing a couple songs, try to figure out. But it's the beauty of that. So check this out. And then where I really can see my enthusiasm sort of take a sort of an uptick is when something cool is happening. And so I thought it was amazing in the last couple days where the Goodyear blimp sort of made its rounds around North Central Ohio. And so now I have today, I was a little frustrated because I thought, okay, I'm going to get it in Ashland just around the corner from my home. And then I'm going to hop in the car and I'm going to come over here and get it coming over the church and maybe even see it over at Ohio Health at the Med Central location. And guess what? That thing really moves quickly. I mean, it's amazing how fast it moves. Because by the time I got here and got my truck parked in the parking garage, it was already headed due east. I got it sort of close, but anyhow, it's those kinds of things that can actually transform the excitement we have from being the mundane to really like, hey, let's go do this thing. Because it's really about not what we're doing, but it's who it's for and how we're trying to bless somebody. So I want to set this too as a sort of a foundation. Enthusiasm is not a product of our environment as much as it is sort of the posture of our hearts. It really is how we approach things. It's like how we look at things, and it's where we start. And if you think back even over the last many months, just trying to get a perspective that God's in control and that the season we're in, he's not surprised by, and that the upheaval, whether it's our economic upheaval or it's our well-being in terms of physical upheaval or even if it's our social upheaval, all those things, we just have to constantly depend upon the Holy Spirit to point to the confidence we need to have in God. I want you to know that you can lose it too. That it is about, you know, margin and making sure that we have a focus. Now, I want to share a story. I want us to look at some scripture here about one of probably the most passionate, spiritually charged and enthusiastic person in the scriptures, and his name is David, King David. I mean, he started out as a little boy. That's when we meet him. He grows up to be king, and yet we know his story enough that he had spiritual enthusiasm, and there was a couple times where he lost it because he didn't keep his focus on the prize. He didn't keep his focus on God. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, 45 through 46, the writer says, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down, and I'll cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Now, I can tell you that, you know, David's confidence there is not human. It's actually being empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's raw. It's unparalleled. It's just downright spiritual passion. Back to that word, it's entheos. It's enthusiasm. But where did his enthusiasm come from? I mean, the idea of charging a giant, right? I mean, this is incredible, the story we know. So there's a couple things here I think we want to point out. First, that he, David, trusted God daily. I mean, the stories that he, in his conversation with King Saul, about how God delivered him from the lion and the bear. And then he also talks about how he walked with God daily, that the Lord was his shepherd. Not just Sunday church, but that he was actually understood that there was this relationship that he had. In fact, let me just share this video that you've seen once before that I think is just so beautiful and remind us of this amazing Psalm 23.
The 23rd Psalm.
This will be a Psalm of David.
A Psalm of David.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul.
He restores my soul.
He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul.
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 He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Of righteousness for his name's sake.
He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I fear no evil.
I fear no evil.
I will fear no evil.
For thou art with me.
For thou art with me.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest the table before me.
Preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemy.
Thou anointest my head with oil.
Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows.
My cup overflows.
My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me.
Mercy shall follow me.
Follow me all the days of my
all the days of my life.
That I shall dwell in the house of the Lord.
The Lord forever.
In the house of the Lord forever.
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 And then David worshiped God daily. So it's interesting when you read the story, he actually worshiped all night. And it was almost embarrassing to his wife. And for me, I think it's the same thing that we all need to look at in our own faith journey, is that we need to read the Word, because that is an act of worship. That when we worship in God's presence, and yes, we want to be together as a corporate worship, but even this platform online can allow us to worship and to sense God's presence. We can offer prayer, and where we've seen God answer that prayer. And we can serve someone using a gift, and even the idea of the pots and pans, as I mentioned, or the idea of using our tithe that God's provided, the way we've been able to provide for our neighbors as well as people who are far away, both receiving our generosity. And so when we're trusting God and we're walking with God and we're worshiping God and we're filled with God, we can do all sorts of amazing things. And yet, even in David's life, we see that there's sort of this two seasons where he's a kid and a king. He runs into battle, a king goes off to war, but yet we know that he stayed home, got on the roof, and that created all sorts of problems for him, right? When, with enthusiasm, David ran into the battle to serve his God. It's almost a childlike faith. It's like, I'm going to do this. Maybe even young warrior faith. But yet it's interesting, with apathy, David walked out on the roof to serve his own comfort when he was king, and the whole story of Bathsheba. And if you don't know that story, Google it, and it's worth taking some time to look at. And then the confrontation that comes to David about being reminded of how he had walked away from his faith with God. So how did a man who had such enthusiasm, ethos, how did he have such enthusiasm as a child and lose it as a king? Where did it turn? Well, it's real simple. He took his eyes off his calling and he put it on his comfort. Now, my question to you is, which best represents you? Are you charging into spiritual battle, or are you currently comfortable and complacent right now? I mean, I know in this season of COVID-19, it's really changed the way we do things in so many different ways. And it's clear that in so many different ways, there's so many different opinions about, do we wear masks or don't we wear masks? There are some restaurants that everyone that's on the staff, all the employees are wearing masks. And then I saw a restaurant the other day where no one had masks on. And so there's just that confusion. And even as we talked with our friends from AA, about opening the building, about the kind of protocols that we wanted to follow so that we can create a safe place and not to be a barrier. You know, during this COVID-19, I think it's forced us to depend on God in so many new and different ways. And yet I'm also confident that we've become bored and spiritually disengaged. We've actually binge-watched all sorts of things because we're just not sure what to do. But it's interesting that when we look at David's life, in particular in this season when David fell egregiously, in Psalm 51, hear what David says. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I mean, those words that are there, rejoice, refill, renew. The idea I had something and now I need to sort of redo it. You see, David became a man after God's own heart. And yet we know in our own journey that this thing called faith is really complicated. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, says to the church at Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. See, the writer wants us to make sure we see, and Jesus, as he's quoting Jesus' words, you didn't lose it, you actually left it. And so when we think about all these things, we got to understand it's about our trust and about our walk and about our worship. And so back to this idea I started with about how there's two kinds of people, and that how in those two types of people, we have those where circumstances basically influence the enthusiasm. But we need to be reminded that enthusiasm is not the product of our environment, it's actually the posture of our heart. So I want you to think about how enthusiasm could change the climate around you. How could, if you were enthusiastic about the place that you find yourself even this morning, how could that change the very place that you're sitting? Or how could it change the relationships with the people that are in the room with you? So as we think about what we're called to do is to serve God in our jobs and in our families, we need to do our best, and we need to leave it all in the field, if you will. So the idea of even as we engage in this continued online presence of how do we, with passion, invite people into the narrative that God is writing in each of our lives, the story that he's writing and the things he's inviting us into. So one question that I get asked all the time, well, how do you keep the passion? You don't. It's a struggle. I'll be straight up. It's hard. It's hard because life is hard and difficult. But it's about the journey we're on, and when we focus on the Lord, focus on God, and live into what Jesus is asking us to be and do, then we're reminded, as Paul says, that he gives us victory over sin and death because of what Christ has done. And see, it's interesting, the writer there in Revelation says to us, do the things you did at first. So do what you did. I mean, we look at the story of David, and what did David do? He cried out to God. And so it's in that same way as you think about your own faith journey that you reach out to him and allow the Holy Spirit to encourage you. So let's pray. Father, thank you that no matter what we're going through, you're always by our side. Help us find our passion in you. Not in our environment, not in the people around us, but in you. Help us to be men and women, young and old, after your own heart. We pray this all in your strong name, Jesus. Amen. So I just want to offer a couple more songs here from our friends Ren Collective that will help maybe set this idea about how it's when we celebrate when we the act of worship, and that actually the last song we'll close with is it's a choice. It's called I Choose to Worship. So again, when we think about the posture of our hearts and showing enthusiasm that it really is about, even when it looks kind of crazy and it's hard, that we willingly choose to worship who God is. So.